So I've been invited to share a word, or share the word. I guess it's share the word and share some words about the word. Okay, if you can follow that, we're off to a good start. All right, so without being cliched or funny about it, the word, the only word I'm going to talk about, you won't be surprised, is God, okay? It's got something to do with him, you'll be pleased to know, all right? Now, when you're starting anything, when you're starting to read a book, whether you're starting to listen to a piece of music, whether you're starting to write a letter, or whether you're starting, like I am now, to talk, it's pretty important to work out what the start point is, okay? I mean, for goodness sake, even the Bible starts by saying in the beginning, so, I mean, if it was important to God to think about a start, then it's got to be the same for us today. For me, it's important that I know we're okay. Okay. It's important that I know where I'm starting from and you know where I'm starting from. Okay? Before I start telling you what it is I want to share. Okay? So don't worry about where I'm going. You'll worry about that in a minute. Just concentrate on where I'm starting from. There's an old... Sorry, I don't want to be racist about this, but I remember that little sort of joke years ago, which kind of brought this home to me, was a chap walking about, a tourist in Ireland, and he bumps into this fella. They're in Dublin, and the chap says to the Irishman, "Excuse me, I'm trying to work out, can you tell me how I get to Galway?" And the Irishman turns around to me and says, "Oh, yes, sure." He says, "I can do that for you." He says, "But I wouldn't start from here if I was you." And what it reminds you, you cannot do anything but start from where you're at in anything in life. Yeah, it's like the old thing, the rest of your life starts now, doesn't it? The rest of your life starts now. So the start point I want you, for me to get across to you is a bit like Rosemary when I first heard her speak months ago. I plan, I prepare things, I like things organised, and I like things put in order, in the right sequence. I mean, I was taught 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I was taught A, B, C, D, E, and I was taught there was an order to the day, and I always like things in the right place, and I like to start with the obvious things. I think it was the way I was brought up. There were 8 of us at home, 6 of us and mum and dad in a terraced house, 2 bedrooms and a box room and a toilet, okay? Now, goodness knows our mum worked all that out. I just cannot imagine. But I do know, being the youngest, I don't have many memories of being a nipper, but I imagine I had my place, and I bet I was put there. I bet I was never allowed just to wander about. I was told probably where to sit, yeah, where I would sleep, presumably in to start with, in a cot in my mum's room. And everything had to be ordered. My mum wouldn't have coped. The family wouldn't have coped. I try to imagine what it was a bit like at 8 o'clock in the morning. How did my mum... My dad would be up and he'd be off to work on his bike, I guess. How did mum sort us all out? But she must have had it organised, and I think that stayed with me. I like things put in place. And I did as a kid, yeah. I'd keep my marbles in that drawer, my sweets in that drawer, yeah. Everything at its place, and I'm still like that. And I don't apologise for it. I don't let it dominate my life now, but it's still important to me to have things in order. So you'll find that is what I'm doing today. Then, of course, I went into teaching, And the same thing happened. I was well set for that because teaching was all preparing, planning, getting organised. Yeah? And working out how to present things to children. How are you going to put it across? Well, you can only put it across unless you be yourself. You've got to be you. Yeah? You've got to put it across person to person. And I put it across me being me and in a structured, planned way. It was important for me to know what was it that the kids had to learn. You might wonder, what on earth is that about? But the same things apply as to what I've got to learn as a child of God. We're supposed to be children. Jesus picked them up and says, we got to be like children. So I think how children learn to grow and develop applies to me, and I would suggest to you, in your growing maturity as a, whatever you like to call it, disciple, friend, follower, brother, sister of Jesus. The other thing I want to say, the other start point is, this is me, as the song in, what is it, Greatest Showman, you know, this is me. This is, I can't do it any other way. I've had my background, I've had my school, I've had been through church after church after church, I'm married twice, I've got children, three, I've worked through that, and then middle of last year, for some reason, must have been somebody else, we ended up at Oasis. Why on earth do I come to Oasis stuck out in the middle of somewhere I don't even know? Who on earth wants to go to Whitney? You know what I mean? What's the point? It doesn't even exist as far as I was concerned. I knew about Oxford, but Whitney just isn't around. But anyway, we ended up here. And I was on a journey through here. And I'm still on that journey. Oasis has changed me. When Oasis, I mean being here and what I'm experiencing, what I'm hearing. And then Joan and I last week, we were away at this Father Heart school thing, call it a school, as we're saying, it's an encounter with the Father. That too has changed me, but I won't tell you all about that. That's a talk for another day, or talk for another week and a half, I should think, but there you go. So I will be myself. And you'll find, yes, I've got little notes. I find that the best, I've come across preachers, I'm sure you have, who stand there and they just read, you know? And you think to yourself, I'll tell you what, yeah, put it in an envelope, post it to me, then I can stay at home and watch Match of the Day, you know what I mean? And read it at my leisure. Others, and I've seen it here, but even, take the one I've heard more than anything here is Akin, and even I know when he's moving around, and it's all coming out of him as though, I only said as though, I don't mean that. He does know what he's talking about. I know it's quite honest. I know it's genuine. I know he's not just talking out of the air. It's very much in him, which is why I pay attention. But even so, I notice, being a modern 21st century man, he's got something here, this is phone or something that he's referring to, yeah? Well, as I tell my kids, I'm not getting used to the 21st century. I'm still trying to get to grips with the 20th century. You know, I'm way behind. They have to show me how to work a mobile phone and do all sorts of things, you know what I mean? If I want to put a shelf up at home, as Joan knows, the first shelf I put up, she wouldn't put anything on it. And I says, what's the problem? You said you wanted a shelf up. And she says, well, what's the point in putting something on a shelf that goes like that? So, from now on, I get one of the children to put my shelves up. Okay. Now, what I share is nothing new. Because it all comes out like you from all the preaching you've heard over the years. I've been preached at like you have, well, ever since I went to church when my mum dragged me, God bless her, when I was about, I don't know, 6 or 7. Till you become a teenager and you find out what life's all about and you think, you know, there's more to do than go to church. So I've had loads of preaching. I've heard loads of sermons. I've heard loads of messages. I've been on courses, theology courses. I've been on conferences. I've got tapes, I've got CDs, and to show I'm a modern man, I've got a USB sticks now with little things on it. I don't know how to use them, but I'm told you've got to plug them in somewhere. But I'm not sure. I'll have to wait for someone to come around and show me where I've got to plug it in. You've got all this stuff, and even Sunday school. Sunday school was a classical course. Sunday school told you all these amazing things about this person called Jesus, who was like, really, he was the equivalent of Superman and Batman, wasn't he? The things he got up to. But that's all he was. He was just a character, like in a comic, without being rude, because that's the way he was presented to me. Now, I don't know about you, but I have found over the years, and still do, that like the Bible itself, everything that I've heard is seems to be full of contradiction, mystery, confusion, and paradox. Yeah? It all seems so complicated and confusing. One minute I've got to do this, then it's got about that. Then I've got to remember to be like this. And then, do you remember the message about so-and-so? But then somebody else said something different. And then I read the Bible, and you think, how on earth are you supposed to make sense of this? Because it's illogical, isn't it, really? It's not even written in the right order. And it's not even written in, half the time, in the Queen's English. But anyway, I found it all very confusing. And what I came to the conclusion recently, only in the last year, I've heard so many voices. I've heard 7 different preachers at Oasis. 7 already. And they've each had their own style, and not just their message, but their own style of delivering me, their own way of getting at me, if you like. And what I've realised is, I have got at home, or in my mind, a load of bricks. I've got all these bricks that I've built up, yeah? I come and hear somebody preach, I've got another brick. I go somewhere else and I get another message, I've got another brick. Someone says, you need to read that book. And I read that book and think, oh, that's interesting. Got another brick. And I've got all these silly bricks at home piled up in my garage. And you know what's missing? What do you need before you start building bricks? You need a foundation. And that's what I'm going to tell you about this morning. My current foundation. And it won't be rocket science to you. It's pretty obvious. But what I'm reckoning is, I think a lot of people have grown up in church, especially people who've been in church a long time, and the foundations aren't secure. They've got all this information, all these messages, but they haven't really got a solid foundation. I have not had a solid foundation for years. One of the things I've enjoyed, one of many things I've enjoyed, this I've just thought about, of when Akin talks, is the number of times he gets across to me how he wasn't like this, not just way back in the past, but even recently. Some months ago, he would say, it seems as though he's always telling me that he's changing, that he hasn't really got it all together. And that I find encouraging. And it's easy for me to say, do you know your foundations? Do you know what why you're a believer and all that? And I mean, if you'd have asked me several months ago, and everyone in church is going, praise the Lord, God is good all the time, wonderful, wonderful. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I don't think he is. He's still a mystery to me half the time. I like all this, really encouraging what you've been saying this morning, yeah? And I don't belittle it at all, because I think it's funny. That you got your hernia healed because it wasn't even there. And I've had 2 hernias in the last 3 years. So I must have had one of yours. One each side, that's right. I'm going to tell you what my foundations are. My foundations come from the teaching. Some of it is here, by the way. Some of the foundations that I've now got have come from Oasis. Some of them I've picked up en route, and they're just what I would call, they're either pearls of wisdom, or they're like when you collect seashells on the seashell. You know where you get them from, don't you? I've either picked them up myself. It might have been a memory verse or a little saying. I'll give you an example. It comes straight to my mind. Peter Jackson, who some of you will have heard about. I remember Peter Jackson telling us this little very short story when he said he heard there's two people in a pub and one says to the other, oh, and he said, them Christians, they're just ordinary human beings having a spiritual experience. And the person turns around to him and says, no, he says, we're spiritual beings who just happen to be having a human experience. And that stuck with me because I see it in the same way. It's like a foundation to me now to think that I'm a spiritual being. So I've got eternal life. This will die someday, but me, the spirit of me, whatever it is, will go on forever. So that's the bit that matters, not this bit, fortunately. Foundations. When I was teaching, I had foundations, and I'll give you four of them because I thought about them the other day. Why am I doing all this teaching to these children? Yeah, and over the years, hundreds and hundreds of them were on the receiving end of all this. Why? And I got out before a national curriculum came in, and some daft people who hadn't got a clue what they were talking about designed the national curriculum and said children had to meet these targets, yeah, and be assessed and do these tests. Yeah, in other words, you've got to get to there. And these are the things, I was out before that happened. These are the things I was built up on. Spice. I was told children need to develop socially, physically, intellectually, creatively and emotionally. They had all those kind of needs. As I grew up and became a Christian, whatever that means, I put another S, I put the social one at the end and put the other one at the beginning, spiritual. They had spiritual needs that needed developed. I'll just tell you about two others. Another one was a child needs to, I'm a child, you're a child, needs to grow up with three harmonies. You need to be in harmony with yourself. That's important, isn't it? Jesus says, love you. Be in harmony with yourself, be in harmony with other people, and be in harmony with God. If you've got three harmonies singing and ringing in your life, that sounds like pretty good music to me. And the other one, which you're going to like, especially bearing in mind the new title is Catch the Fire. The new title of all this is Catch the Fire. This is one I was taught when I went to Teachers Training College, and it's a cracker. And it relates to your walk as a Christian, does to me. A child is not a bowl to be filled, but a fire to be kindled. And I thought, that is magic. That is magic. Yeah. So as we bring up our own children, as we have, whether all grown up now, it was that sense of, you know, I'm not going to fill you with stuff. You want to nurture it, you want to kindle it. And that's what Jesus, God, wants to do with me and with you. Kindle the fire. Catch the fire, kindle the fire. Whatever. We're going to read a bit of scripture in a minute because I do know I've got to talk about the Bible. Okay. So I've told you that, finished with that. Oh, that's good. There's only a couple of bits of paper left. Sorry? I've done my starting points. And I'm going to get to the foundation of what I'm talking about now. What am I getting at? And that's why I've got the flip chart. The school I was at most of the time, we had a big blackboard. And I used to love with the kids, you know, get your jacket off and loads of chalk. And a lot of the time, just chatting with the children, and it would be drawings and pictures and things going up on the blackboard, all the things that you were having a discussion about. And this is the verse. I don't know if you've ever heard of the verse. It's in John 3:16. Anyone know what that is? Come on. It's the most well-known verse in the Bible, okay? Here's the key words in it. For God so loved the world, that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him would be da-da-da-da and have eternal life. Oh, while I'm doing that, I'm thinking, so be yourself. I used to hear when I was a kid, I got flat feet. And I was told I had to walk properly. What do you mean walk properly? So do you know, once a week I had to go to this clinic, great laugh, it meant you weren't at school. I had to go to this clinic and they got one of those PE benches and turned it upside down. And I had to walk along the top of it two or three times and went back to school. What on earth was that going to do? It hasn't made a blind bit of difference. My feet are flat, that's the way God made them. What's your problem, you know what I mean? Somebody had got big heads or big noses, that's this. Anyway, I'm also left-handed. And I was told when I was at school that, you know, one of the things you had to learn was right-handed. Get off, you know. And the worst of all is when I finished teachers' training college, I was called in by the deputy principal, and he said, "Well, you're soon going out onto the into your teaching career, Philip." Isn't it? I said, "Yep." And he said, "Well, before you do, I just wondered, have you ever considered having elocution lessons?" And I felt, I didn't say you, but I thought, you cheeky monkey. Yeah. Are you telling me that I can't talk proper, Lee? You talk to children the way you've got to be yourself. One funny thing happened one year. You write reports, and I love writing reports. I love saying lots of stuff about the kids. And this mum, she wasn't complaining. Only happened once. She came up and she said, "Thank you ever so much, Mr. Blake, for your report on Simon, whatever." Said, "I'm really pleased to receive it." She said, "The only trouble is I can't read it." She said, "I can't read your writing." So I had to sit down and read it all for her. Bit embarrassing, really. But anyway, I'm quite neat on a flip chart. Right. That's all I want to talk about. Right, I don't need that bit of paper anymore. Now, I was brought up with this word, God. When I went to church, the bloke who I thought was telling me all about God was out the front and he wore black. He wore black gowns. And then when he wanted to talk to me about black gowns, he went up into this pulpit thing and sort of looked down at me. So he must be God because he's looking down. And I presume God does look down. And then he would start talking about the Holy Ghost. Who wants to go to church and hear about a ghost? You know what I mean? Holy Ghost. I used to think, that is frightening. I don't like that. Anyway, one day I did encounter the Holy Ghost. We'd come back from church, me and my sister, 2 years older than me, and my mum always wore this big fur coat. Put the fur coat over the banisters at the end of the stairs. I was told to go upstairs and, you know, usual thing, wash your hands and face. Why do you keep washing your hands and face for? Go upstairs and wash your hands and face, get ready for dinner. So up I go. As I'm coming back down the stairs, down those stairs and turn the corner, coming up the stairs towards me was the fur coat. Going, ooh. And I knew then I'd had an encounter with the Holy Ghost. So much so that I shouted out, "Mum!" She came and retrieved her fur coat and gave my sister a good hiding for trying to frighten me, which she did. But anyway, what I'm saying is, God to me in those days was, and he still is, it's only recently that I stopped thinking about God. I'll tell you why. He's too mysterious, too invisible, too far away, and I can't make sense of him. I don't know how to get my head round God. It's too big. So here's what I've done. This is my foundation. I tend to think of God now as Father. We say God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but we often talk about God, then we talk about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it seems to me. We don't seem to talk about Father so much. So Father, I can get into that. I like the idea of having my Father. I know some people's Father may have been not good news. Father. That means I'm a son. You're a daughter. I like being a son of somebody. Yeah. I don't have to be a servant. I've heard a preacher tell me he looks forward to the day when he gets up wherever, and Jesus says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to be told, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't tell my children when they, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, I want to be able to say, well done, son. That's what I want to be told, well done, son. That will really excite me. And when God loved the world, take that away and put S. For God so loved the world. God loves the world. The world? Oh, that means you lot and everybody else. Well, without being rude, what really matters is to me is me. And for know that God loves you and blesses all you, but I'm not party to it, doesn't exactly fill me with joy. Do you know what I mean? Don't want to be rotten, but at the end of the day. So I like to think that the Father loves me. So when I read, for God so loved the world, I now read, the Father loves me. I read recently, last week in fact, St. Augustine was asked to sum up the Bible. Don't know if you've heard that. And St. Augustine said the Bible for him could be summed up by just saying, Father loves me. The whole Bible is about Father loves me. So what did God do at the beginning? He loved, and he sent his son. Now, I learned a lot about school at church and school and church, all about Jesus and all about the cross and the resurrection and everything like that. And I realise it's important. I'm not decrying the central power of the cross and the resurrection. But why did God do all that? Why did Jesus do all that? I was brought up, it's because you're a sinner. You need to have your sins sorted out. And if you do and believe in Jesus, Mum says, believe in Jesus. Yes, Mum, believe in Jesus and you'll get eternal life. Eternal life. Yeah, but I want eternal life now. I know it does start now. I want it now. I want to enjoy this life now, not just way in the future. So why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? Why was he crucified? Why did he get resurrected? What was all that about? I don't believe it's all about the fact that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry, but that's what I've been brought up. I don't think that's what it's about. I think what it's about is because God loves me. And because he loves me, he sent his son to sort me out. Otherwise, I was lost. It's all about his love. The Holy Spirit, he enters the scene, sort of later in my Christian education. I mean, it wasn't until 20 years ago that people made much of the Holy Spirit, it seemed to me. I was just being taught about Jesus all the time. I've had Jesus, sorry, sounds rude, doesn't it? I've had Jesus up to it, but the Father didn't appear on the scene until later. And that's who he is. We're going to look at the scriptures now, you'll be pleased to know. Oh. When Jesus was baptized, what did God say? Ready? After three, recite after me. This is my son, whom I love and in whom I am well pleased. That's me as well. If he's my father, then by definition, I'm a son. And I'm becoming more and more convinced that God looks down on me, the Father looks down on me and says, I'm well pleased with you. I'm well pleased with you. Even though you don't talk properly and you've got flat feet, I am well pleased with you. That suits me. And he says, you've seen this before, haven't you? For those who can't read, for those who can't see it from where you are, sorry, that was rude. Beloved, you're a beloved son. And you've heard it preached about. This is one of the nuggets that I picked up during my Christian education, when someone told me, split it into two words and be loved. Because beloved, to me, is a word that just, I've never heard the word. What does beloved mean? You know, it's old-fashioned, Old Testament even, you know what I mean? Be loved. Cool, that's it. So God the Father was saying, this is my beloved son. I love him and I'm well pleased. End of story. And that's all God says to me. He says he loves me and he's pleased with me. I've got loads of scriptures we could read, but we haven't got time because I don't know about you, but I'm getting hungry. You got a Bible, you can read it yourself. But the bits that I'm reading for, I had all these quotes ready, but I thought I was going to get on half an hour earlier than this, you see. And that's, anyway, I like Joan's Bible. Well, I like Joan as well, but I like the Bible. Because in here, she's got all the things, not sheath, all what Jesus said in red. And that, to me, are the best bits that I get more from reading. Actually, Jesus speaking to me. Yeah? Not somebody else. I'm not saying that Paul and all the others don't have an impact. Clearly they do. And when you read, and the number of times I've heard people preach on this in the last 3 or 4 months, where we've been the last week, it was what they kept going on about, wasn't it? You read John, sort of 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. It's the last time Jesus talked to his disciples before he said, come on, let's go. My time has come. And off they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when you read it, you'll find, I wish I had time to read it, but we better not. It's all about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You can't separate them. You can't separate them. Jesus, you sometimes wonder, what was he about? Because he kept saying, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. I am actually his like spokesman. I'm doing everything for him. I do nothing on my own. And then he says to the disciples, I'm going back to where I came from. So I now become invisible. And I think to myself, oh, here we go again. Not only is God invisible, but Jesus ain't here. Now on earth, what are we supposed to do? And he says, I will leave you another person. Another person. We'll call him the Holy Spirit. And you think, crikey, that's pretty clever. So he leaves the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one who guides me into eternal life. I'm finishing, but before I finish, I must show you this, because this is my nugget. This is something that I've worked out, okay? So if you hear anybody else talk about it, say to them, oh, have you ever heard of Phil Blake? And they'll say, no. And you say, well, watch out, because, no, right. Because I'm a teacher, you're always looking at how, like that spices things, quick ways of how to put things together. I was taught years ago that what the Father has given me, he's given me a sense of acceptance, significance, and identity. My identity, my significance, and my acceptance doesn't come from anybody else, doesn't come from my job or anything. It only comes from the Father. And that identity, change colour, that identity, the significance, the acceptance is my ISA. And when you talk to people about ISAs, they're free. There's a load of interest there. It's all free. Yeah. It's an investment. It's like I can invest my whole being into Jesus because that's my ISA. Free of charge. No tax. The world has got no hold on me because I'm his. I like that. If you like that, that's me, all right? So if you want to thank me afterwards, then. And the other one is this. We're almost there. You're getting hungry, aren't you? We're almost there. And that's this. The Holy Spirit. This is something else I was taught, so it's not, but it's the way I jiggled it round. I've been told that the Holy Spirit could be summed up as being an encourager, a supporter, a comforter, and a guide. Yeah? He's an encourager, a comforter. We often rub over that one, by the way. I've never really thought about him providing me with comfort. The Holy Spirit provides me with comfort. I've heard a lot about peace, but sometimes I just feel I want some comfort. The Holy Spirit gives me that. Anyway, because I like jiggling things around and doing crosswords, you put those letters around the other way, and you get a GCSE. Now, I thought that was really clever when I worked that out, and then I realised that he probably gave me the idea. But let me have some credit. GCSE. And being a teacher, I really liked that the Holy Spirit guides, comforts, strengthens and encourages. And here's the best bit about it, that after, this is when the Lord played his part, which he does in my life, now and then, he put the best bit in, he then said, who's the teacher? Who's the teacher who qualifies you to have the GCSE? Read John, number of times, it says, this is why all other teachers pale in comparison. I will send you an advocate, and he will teach you all things. And he'll remind you about everything I said. So all you others, all you preachers, all you CDs, everybody else, on your bike. It's the Holy Spirit who will teach me all things. And I've got to turn away from all these bricks that people are giving me and start going back to my Father loving me, and Jesus has shown me the Holy Spirit, given me the Holy Spirit, so I can live like him. So my finale is this. Oh, when I shared that at a church once, there was this old lady, senior citizen, and she came up to me afterwards. This was beautiful because she said to me, do you know, she said, I've never really had any qualifications in my life. Yeah? And she says, now I know I've got a GCSE. And I said, yeah, and it's come from the best teacher you could get. And she was well pleased, and I thought, I never thought of it. I didn't think she was going to take it like that, but it certainly did her a power of good. Yeah. Me, I had to flog my guts out for years to get my GCSEs, but she got it just like that, God bless her. Anyway, I'm going, and here's my finale word. What am I talking about? I'm talking about that as a child of God, you need foundations. And I would suggest that's one of the key foundations, that God loves you. God loves you, son, daughter. And you are, as a child, you're not a bowl to be filled with loads of stuff that church and everybody else gives you. You're not a bowl to be filled. You are a fire to be kindled. And what does a fire do? Gives you light, gives you warmth. Sounds like Jesus. Catch the fire? It's in here. I want it kindled. I don't want to catch it. I've got it. I just want to have it kindled. Who by? Teacher number one, Holy Spirit. Right, dinner time, Joan.